On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us this morning. The Maryland Institute College of Art announced yesterday that Samuel Hoy will become the new president of the acclaimed art school in July. Mr. Hoy has been the president of the Otis College of Art and Design in Los Angeles since 2000. He'll succeed Fred Lazarus IV, who has held the reins at MICA for the past 36 years. Samuel Hoy joins me on the phone from Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning.
And congratulations on your appointment at MICA.
Thank you very much. It's a huge honor to be appointed as MICA's next president, but also extremely humbling because I'll be following Fred Lazarus' legendary footsteps.
Indeed. Legendary they are. Anybody who gets a position like this after a national search has obviously convinced the board of directors that they've got a vision, that they've got a plan for where MICA should head. How would you describe your vision for MICA?
I would not describe a specific vision at this time because, as I explained to the board, my life's work has always been about responding to the specific context of the institution and its extended communities. So I look forward to coming to MICA to learn about MICA, about Baltimore, and how MICA's advancement and Baltimore's development can also resonate with national and world stage of art and design and social and cultural and economic development. But I did share with the board that I feel that there are certain aspects that any forward-looking and leading College of Art and Design now need to consider, and they agreed heartily, and probably that's what brought me to MICA now. And that is any schools cannot really stay with a status quo operation, but must be very smart in looking at its past and heritage to see what must be protected, but at the same time, what's timeless, but at the same time, boldly meet the needs of today's students and students of tomorrow. So, for example, the Department of Labor has long forecasted that today's learner, by the age of 38, will have 10 to 15 jobs, and then in 2010, seven of the top jobs did not exist 10 years ago. So in this kind of future, art schools and all higher education really need to think about how we position the curriculum in a smart way that retains, again, the timeless needs of training the eye, the mind, and the hands, but at the same time giving all the students as broad a imagination as possible about what art and design can do, and how artists and designers can invent themselves and invent their roles and invent their value in society. A lot of my work has been in that direction at Otis, where we have very carefully looked at what is that intersection between pure art and design, the visionary thinking of the creative, real-life professional practice, and also societal advancement, and then try to prepare our students for that kind of careers and contributions after graduation.
Yeah, so
some of those conversations to MICA.
Yeah, so it's a matter of where art and design education sort of fits into the larger context of society at large. I mean, if you're not a student at MICA or aspiring to be a student, or if you're not a parent paying the substantial fees it costs to send your child to MICA, why should folks outside of MICA care about the state of art and graphic design education in America?
Yes, very, very well put. I think that so much of today's conversation, not just about art education, but about higher education, it's about the cost and how expensive it is. I would like to turn that conversation around together with the MICA community and really establish the value of the education, and not just present rhetorics about the value, but make it palpable and concrete about the concrete contributions and the potential of earning of an art and design a degree for our graduates. And MICA has already positioned itself as such a leading edge of in this dialogue that I feel very excited to join them. So, for example, MICA is very embedded in the city of Baltimore in multiple ways, not just cultural, but social and economically. And I think that there are still more opportunities. When I came to visit Baltimore, I really get this sense of an energy about Baltimore now in a kind of phase of renaissance. People are moving back in. The Inner Harbor development has just been phenomenal. I think there are other opportunities in Baltimore that an institution like MICA, in partnership with multiple sectors, education, business, and cultural, can work together to, in a way, to advance art and design education, but also advance the city of Baltimore at the same time.
On 881, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guest this morning is Samuel Hoy. He'll become the president of the Maryland Institute College of Art in July. You've written and spoken a lot about what you call the creative economy. What do you mean by that?
Yes. Specifically at Otis, since 2007, I have led the production of a report that's commissioned from the Los Angeles County Economic Corporation, a development corporation, to study the tangible impacts of the creative sectors, industry, and practitioners. So we look at jobs generated, revenues generated, as well as state and local taxes generated. And for the first time this year, we're actually expanding that beyond the Los Angeles region to cover the entire state. And the purpose of the report is to put numbers to creativity and quantify, again, the impact of creatives to graduates of schools like MICA, you know, and Otis. And even though we shout out in dollar and cents, the real story is about the importance of the creative capital for the prosperity and wellness of the city and society that so many of our students, alumni, you know, work in, and faculty, you know, work in. So, for example, some of the headlines this year is that in the Los Angeles region, we have hot data to prove that one in seven jobs is supported by the creative economy, and across the state of California, about one in ten jobs is supported by the creative economy. So, when you have numbers and data like that, you get the attention of not only the legislative leaders, the business leaders, but also the public, and families and students who are considering an art and design education also have some reassurance that once they graduate, they will have actually a very vibrant industry and arena to join. But I think, again, even though we use hot data to get attention, the real story we tell is more subtle. It's really about the importance of art and design and artists and designers in society.
So, for example, if the number of jobs is 1 in 7 or 1 in 10 statewide, how would that compare to another sector? How would that compare to manufacturing or education or, you know, biotech
Or
something?
Yeah. Great question. This year we did some comparison. So, for example, in the I recall this is Los Angeles region, the career economy as a sector, when compared to manufacturing, I think we are about equal, and we are about 2.5 in actually foreign trade and development, which is another big sector. So when you kind of put us the career economy side by side with other more recognized sectors, that's when people also start paying attention. I never think about that before. As I like to tell people, because we use currency and dollars every single day, it's very easy for us to appreciate the kind of monetary economy. But if you put on a different lens and look it through art and design, you will see that actually, everything around us is actually achieved through art and design, from the clothing that we wear, the chairs that you sit on, that's product design, the buildings that your office is in, the studio is in right now, that's architecture. When you shift that lens, then you actually, creativity is a different kind of currency. And right now, we have entered the age of idea of innovation that's going to stay with us for a very long time. We have passed the industrial age. We've passed the kind of age of information. Now it's really about idea and innovation.
Certainly one of the dimensions of Fred Lazarus's tenure at MICA has been his leadership in what is broadly known as community engagement, having yes. the MICA community be very actively involved in the community of Baltimore and beyond. You also have a reputation for being very interested in and concerned with community engagement. What does that term mean to you, being engaged with your community as an institution like MICA?
Yes, I think what that means is that MICA looks beyond its four walls of the campus, or the metaphorical walls, to really think ourselves as a true citizen of the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland, and also on the international stage, and figuring out a genuine way of working with its kind of multiple constituencies to bring as many possibilities, again, to its faculty. creativity to his students, but at the same time radiate back into the community benefits, you know, of that kind of partnership. So I think why Fred and I have been such wonderful colleagues, and you know, for over two decades, and I am so honored to follow his footsteps. Precisely, he and I have very similar outlooks, and he's been able to, in a way, have that imprint into MICA curriculum and the MICA's kind of community ethos, and I hope very much to, you know, continue that. But I think community engagement for both Fred and myself is a very genuine thing. It's not about a kind of patronage thing to say, oh, you know, MICA has this creativity, let's bring it to the community, we have such wonderful things we can do for you. But rather, it's to say that you know, MICA has a very broad outlook about how it needs to be and how art and design needs to be positioned in the world. And so we want to actually make that kind of meaning and that kind of construction a true collaboration with the business community, with the creative community, with the individual donors, so we can, for anyone who loves art and creativity, they will feel that MICA is a very genuine partner in elevating you know, that dialogue and that understanding. And in doing so, we're also bringing concrete value and contributions back to the larger world.
You were born in Hong Kong. You went to college and law school in New York at Columbia. You've been in Los Angeles for the last 14 years. Before that, you were at the Corcoran Gallery in Washington. In this age of globalization, I wonder, do you find a distinction in the sort of aesthetic and the notion of art and design between the East Coast and the West Coast of the United States?
Well, actually, it's funny you asked that question. When I was during my younger days, when I worked at in Paris, I was very lucky. I was head of Parsons Paris, a small campus in Paris of Parsons Group Design. I often felt that there was much more commonality between Paris and New York City than between Los Angeles and New York City. I think nowadays that has changed a lot. I think what's very exciting for myself, you know, for the students, you know, at MICA, is that globalization has brought kind of a common understanding and dialogue that we can communicate and understand each other much better. But at the same time, globalization has also created a tremendous desire and tremendous number of practices that actually honor and make local communities and local aesthetics more individual, so that we can actually, we are not being homogenized, you know, with this globalization. So I think there's this really wonderful tension and possibility. On one hand, there is this you know, larger you know, vocabulary and understanding that can create more understanding, but at the same time, there's deep desire to make things actually more distinct and more personal.
Samuel LaHoy will become the next president of the Maryland Institute College of Art in July. He's joined me on the phone today from Los Angeles. We'll have a link to more information about MICA at our website. Come to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. Well, Mr. Hoy, I look forward to welcoming you in person when you're in town here in July. And congratulations again, and thanks for your time.
Well, thank you so much for your interest, and look forward to meeting everyone in Baltimore and at MICA.
We do, too. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cass. For producers Stephanie Hughes, Matt Purdy, and Jamila Kay. And for Sheila and Nathan, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great day.